midfield, just in front of Stretton Angel. Bella Nipotina, the outside, and right to Party's coming at them all. And Sunshine in Paris is coming through. Right to Party at the 50. Sunshine in Paris driving. Sunshine in Paris has won from right to Party. Bella Nipotina and then Stretton Angel. Amelia Stewart on the block down with Fangirls. Debbie Magnetica and Mr. Brightside driving through too. Mr. Brightside hits the front for Mantino's Debbie Magnetica. Mr. Brightside, Mr. Sestina, two lengths in front of a tissue future history, then came without a fight, but Via Sestina is drawing away, the star of the spring, and J-Mac a perfect hit again, Via Sestina by three at tissue, without a fight future history.
G'day listeners and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we are looking back on Champions Day, where three Group 1s were run and won. It was a fantastic day out there, Botter. Met a heap of Racing Previews sort of listeners and a couple that have signed up to the sixth day, and that was really cool. So how was your day, mate? I understand you're feeling a little bit Pete Murray. You've seen better days.
Yeah, I don't remember much of it. Saturday was a good day. Perfect weather. The racing was fantastic. Slightly less people than the other 3 days, and like I enjoy being able to move at the races. So I love going to the races in winter when there's absolutely no one there, put the headphones in and just walk around. But the atmosphere is always really, really good at Flemington for Cup Week, and they got 285,000 across the 4 days, which is unbelievable. I think it was an 8% increase from last year, and you know, not that it'll ever left, but racing is back.
Yeah, like it's absolutely. Well and truly, it's gone.
I think it's sort of trying to trend in the, like, you know, like sort of society, I guess, like people were off it for like a couple of years. But I think it's starting to turn back, which is really good to see.
Well, there was obviously the COVID boom where everyone was sitting on their couch, disobeying the law at times, going over their friend's house and all just sitting down together and punting their absolute tits off. And there was probably a bit of a lull period after that where, you know, wagering is still down compared to COVID, but I just feel like the popularity of the sport.
not even from a gambling standpoint, just I think like as a social thing, going to the races, like 285,000 across 4 days is enormous. Like there were 50,000 at Oaks Day on a Thursday, it's not a public holiday or anything. People were just going to the races.
I think that says something about the social license and where it stands at the moment. I feel like we are doing a pretty good job with that. And
sometimes I don't like that. Like I think sometimes it errs on the side of being too much of a social thing instead of a racing thing. But you know, it's obviously working. So
I think as absolute racing diehards, sometimes we probably don't see the bigger picture.
Yeah, probably not.
Because we're just so into it, and we're just like, nah, stuff the nonnies. They can say whatever they want. But you know, there was probably a time where they were getting more cut through, and right now, I don't think they are. So
it's really good. Like as I said before, I prefer to go to the races on Winter Champions Day when there's like 5,000 people there. Walk around with my headphones on instead of, you know, 90,000 people there on Cup Day not being able to move. But, you know, it is a good thing for the sport, like from a social thing. And like, and if you keep promoting like that, I think you're
sitting on your mic.
Oh, am I? Sorry.
That's fine.
I think people will start turning up to the races more like on the off days, not the Spring Carnival. But, you know, like it's a good day out going to the races. It doesn't have to be just Cup Week.
Yeah, no, 100%. All right, let's get to the track firstly, Bot. We've given a nice little summary off the top, but rail out 8 metres. I think this track has played beautifully for most of the week, other than probably Cup Day where it was inside lanes. Every other day, I think it's played really well. So hats off to Flemington there. I thought it played really well again on Saturday. Apparently, there was a fair bit of juice in the track the day before. Champions Day, and it's held a good four rating throughout the whole card. How did you think it played?
I mean, like, we pick and choose, like, we're very, like, nitpicky, like, about these things, you know. They've got four race days across 1 week, and, like, you've got 37 races, or, no, way more than that, that's one. How many races are there across the week?
No, I think it is about 37.
Yeah, 37. You know, like, you've got however many horses running across the week, and, you know, it's an outside sport. It'd be stupidly hard to get the track right, and they've got it pretty much perfect for 3 of the 4 days, and, you know, you can't complain with that. Like, you can't give them, and you can't say a bad thing about it. It's been perfect. It played like how Flemington usually does. I think all the results were pace orientated, at least on Saturday. So the best horses one, I thought.
Yeah. Were you happy with the good four rating throughout the whole day?
Yes.
Yep. Very happy. So was I. All right, let's start with the Groupons. We'll go straight to the top of the aisle with the Champion Sprint 1200 metres. This was race 6 on the program. Sunshine in Paris was your winner. She's taken it out at $5.50. From Right to Party has run absolutely massive.
Mm.
She's paid $8 for a place. Ballina Patina was in third, and Stretton Angel, another big roughie, rounds out the top four. They've gone an even speed here. They've all sort of bunched up towards the outside fence. Sunshine in Paris runs to 102.7 on Form King, Right to Party 102.1, and Ballina Patina just comes off their form a little bit, 101.9. But yet again, this was J-Mac to the fore.
Yeah, it was a good race. I don't, like, we all know, like, this isn't, we don't have many 104 plus horses in, like, in our sprinting ranks at the moment. So it's quite an even year, which is why sort of Right to Party and Stretton Angel, like, have been able to take that next step quite easily. Not easily, but, like, you know what I mean. Sunshine in Paris has run a good rating. I think it's a down year, the rating wise anyway, but Sunshine in Paris is a nice horse. She's had her issue, so it's good to see her get a second group one. You know, they can only get so many runs into her, I think. I heard Right to Party's going over to Ascot next year. That's interesting. I think there's another three-year-old colt for Chris Waller might be going over there too, I'd say, because it's owned by Coolmore in Switzerland. So I think he turns up over there and he runs his number. He will just be winning over there. But, you know, that'll be interesting to see her over there. So that's good to see. Ballina Patina, you know, she hasn't dipped below... What, like a rating of 100? She's dipped below rating of 100 once in the last 10 starts. It'd be, she's just so consistent. She's such a good horse. You know, it was a really strongly run 1300 meters last week, and she backed up down in distance. Like, not exactly ideal. And I thought
she probably got too far back last week as well against Ballina Patina.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Sunshine in Paris. I'm talking about Ballina Patina. Yeah. And, you know, and they verti drained the outside, so she met the outside sort of lane. So maybe she was in the wrong lanes there. And she also hit the front, like, you know, she was paced efficiently enough, but she was sort of on the wrong side of the pace, and she was sort of there a little bit early, and she sort of just faded on her run, and the swoopers got to him late. But yeah, I thought it was an exciting addition. There's not much between a lot of them, but. Yeah, you know, I think this lot of sprinters, there's room for one to just hammer them, I think, and I think that'll be Switzerland.
Yep, hopefully he stays in training. It was a mares 1, 2, 3, and 4. I just want to elaborate a bit more on what Bot said. Yeah. So they've verti drained the outside probably 3 to 4 lanes. So what that means is they've pressed holes in the track to take out some of the compaction so it doesn't turn into a highway, basically. And also, I think they do it for a bit of drainage sometimes as well. But I believe that had Ballina Patina been in the same lane as Sunshine in Paris, I do think she would have won the race. I think she wasn't in the absolute A ground. No real knock on the winner or anything, like deserved winner. And she's turned the form on Ballina Patina. I just feel like they all bunched up towards the outside grandstand rail and out extremely wide just wasn't the place to be. And I think that's why I am boosting up the run of Private Life massively, the three-year-old Waller colt. I thought he's gone absolutely huge, the Caulfield Guineas winner.
He's run a career peak, which is funny.
Yeah, he's run to like 100, 99.9, and he was even in a wider lane than Ballina Patino. He might have been right behind her. He came home very, very well. So I think he's one to follow going into next year, even though I thought his Caulfield Guineas win wasn't that good. He has gone massive here.
Yeah, it's a tough ask, but I would have loved them to go to the Rupert Clark with him. He would have been the good horse for that. I thought, like, you know, I think 1400 meters is probably his go.
Yep.
In time and down low in the weights, he'd be competitive in that. I thought. What do you think of Giga Kick?
I thought he probably didn't have the right run in the race, but he was probably still a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think after circumstances were 100% though.
No, I thought after the Everest, he was about to, you know, get back to somewhere near his best anyway. But I don't know what happened there. I ended up backing Barrakil in the race, but I was sort of traveling. He trucked into it, and I sort of thought it without him getting anywhere near what he ran last time. I sort of thought it confirmed, you know, that he is that good, and, you know, it was just off his complete best, but it gave me a lot of confidence that, you know, that 103 he ran was, you know, it's believable.
So yeah.
He's a horse for next year, and I think he's going to Perth, isn't he?
No. We put out the media release, you might have just missed it, but that he will become the Moonee Valley Racing Club's slot runner in the Meteorite, the $1 million race at Cranbourne on Cup Day. What's in a fortnight. I don't know what else is going to go there. You might get horses like I Am Unstoppable. Horses sort of like of that sort of ability. I think he's going to be favorite in that race, and I can see why they probably just don't want to go to Perth this preparation, because it is a big ask to this horse. Has only had 9 starts. He's won 6 of them.
His first preparation,
exactly, and he's still in his first preparation, so they're probably just thinking, we're just going to take the soft option for now. We'll go to Cranbourne, hopefully win a $1 million race, and then spell, and then next year, who knows what can happen. But yeah, he's a very nice horse. Mm. Overpass, I want to be a bit forgiving of. Like, I know he was pretty flat. Like, he was disappointing. There's no doubting it. But his better ratings do come at Ascot, and that's where he goes next for the winter bottom. He's 3 out of 3 unbeaten in WA. He's won 2 quokkas. He's won a winter bottom. And he won't be facing the absolute A graders that he has so far in Perth. I don't think Ballina Patino is going. Obviously, he doesn't have to take on Amelia's Jewel. Oscar's Fortune's gone to Gavin Bedgood. So I don't know. I would completely forgive him and back him next start, because his opposition is probably going to be very limited. Happy to move on?
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the Bot Show. The Champions Mile, 1600 meter Group 1 weight for age, obviously. Mr. Brightside, start number 40, Blinkers first time, has taken this out at $5. It was the only horse you wanted to be on out of the Cox Plate. He's run to 103.7, so that is somewhere near his best form. Antino was a little bit unlucky. Missed the start. He is his own worst enemy at times, runs to 102.8. Fangirl in third, Steffi Magnetica in fourth. And if anyone listened to the podcast and didn't believe me, I just want to say I told you so, because I absolutely knew they would go too slow in Pride of Jenny, and I knew she would be absolutely flat. She's run last. She has SP'd favorite. Obviously, she's pulled up with 2 blood nostrils, and it's an incredibly sad way to see a horse like her, who has revolutionized the sport in the last 14 months, go out the way she has. But anyway, that comes down to the ownership, and it is what it is. But let's talk about the winner first, Bot.
Yeah, well, where do you start?
Let's start with your face on the racing.com screen about 5 seconds after he passed the line.
Front and center. Big screen, Bot.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I mean, he's just such a good horse. You know, he's been unplaced 3 times from his last 20 starts. I think, you know, he's a champion. I think, like, he solidified that on Saturday, and that's his 8th Group 1, I think.
Yeah.
And an All-Star
Mile. And an All-Star Mile. Yeah.
Which,
Yeah, they went, obviously they went slowly, which is, I mean, like, obviously you thought it, but like, I sort of thought, like, it's Prodigy, they're not stupid, but well.
They didn't even just go like Prodigy slow. They went
They went slow.
slow for Group One average. They didn't even break benchmark to the 600.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting tactics. Maybe she just didn't have it in her. I don't know. Well,
Maybe, but
maybe she bled early and Malum sort of saw it, and I don't know. Maybe she should have pulled it. I don't know. But yeah, very sad. She's been such a good horse, and I think she's made Mr. Brightside better, and I think she's made the rivalry between them is, I think it's made racing better, and it's made him, people remember Mr. Brightside more. I think we'd like in the, from a narrative standpoint anyway, because it's like people love it.
I think the last rivalry we had was probably Alligator Blood and I'm Thunderstruck. Like that was a decent little rivalry, but this has trumped that tenfold.
Oh,
And
heaps, yeah.
the crazy thing is they finish their head to head five all.
Yeah, I mean, she's a, it's sad to see her go out like that, but she's done what she's done, and yeah, I mean, I don't really say, like, I know she's just bled, and it's like it's a setback, but then you just to retire her, like, she's been as good as she ever has been in this preparation,
Yeah,
apart from
well,
the
she is a
last 2 weeks.
7-year-old mare, but
Yeah.
look, I don't want to be the, conspiracy sort of theorist, but when they do bleed from both nostrils, I think there is a certain amount of time that they have to be banned.
Yeah, it's 3 months, isn't it, or
Three
six?
months. 3 months, okay. But is retiring her a bit of a scapegoat to hide the embarrassment of what's happened?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
I mean, if she doesn't bleed, if she doesn't run on Saturday, then she doesn't bleed. And she never should have run on Saturday because the Cox Plate run was the biggest empty out run you've ever seen. She put up the white flag at the 1,000 meter mark, and there was just no way you should ever continue a horse's preparation that bottoms out of a race like that. Yeah, it's just disappointing. But let's get back to the winner, Mr. Brightside. He had the nice run tucked in behind the speed. Obviously, they didn't go too fast. He enjoyed that. He darted back through the inside. A nice, patient Craig Williams ride.
Oh, it was so good. Such a good
And he
ride.
takes out another one.
Yeah, he was held up half the straight, so he reeled off the fastest last 200 meters of the meeting.
That is crazy. How is the race with Pride of Jenny in it produced the
Yeah.
fastest last 200 of the meeting?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, anyway, interesting tactics, but I thought Antino was massive again. He missed the start, which he can do, and people will say, like, well, Morrowbed, well, he's missing the start in his own accord. He that's something that he does, and it's just his own fault. Like, anyway,
He's the run of the race, but it's
I don't
his
know
own
about that.
fault.
Like, yeah, I mean,
I think
yeah,
he was.
Mr. Brightside was,
I'm not taking anything away from Brightside. I just think Antino was,
yeah, he
was
was
good.
very good, and I think he sort of. He backed up that Toorak rating. Like, the rating around here is nowhere near that number, but I think, like, it gives some sort of strength behind it, and it gives me, like, I'm still not giving him the 106.7,
Yeah, of course.
but I'm giving him like a 103, 103, 105, 104 sort of thing. And I think he goes to Hong Kong now, and he's right in that. So,
100%. Have you heard
and
of
I,
Brightside's going? I'm not sure.
no, they won't go. I think the plan is to go in the autumn for the, what is it, the champions one up in there, up in Hong Kong. I
Oh,
don't know what it's
really?
called, the
So they'll go to
champion.
Hong Kong but wait until
Yeah,
the
that's the
autumn.
plan. I think it's in June, I think, is the so they'll probably have a light preparation in the autumn, and then go to Hong Kong. Is I don't know, it's not, nothing's confirmed, but that's sort of,
Yeah, I think it's called FWD Champions Day.
yeah. And I also think, I'm completely adamant that I think Antino's looking for 2,000. I don't think he's ever. I think he's got to 18, but I just think he's a 2,000 meter horse, and they desperately need to get him there. So maybe we'll see it in the QE next year. So that'll be exciting, because he is this good. He is up to Group One standards. So, Fangirl, I'm just sort of think she's just, she had that. What even happened to her? She had like a
she had like an infection or something. Yeah, or like a cut, or it was like a, she might have cut her leg or something, and it was just a superficial cut, but she's lost a couple links.
Yeah, she's heard she was very, very unwell. I think she's just sort of not, she's like, she maybe lost a length, maybe that's a bit harsh. She could come out and just, you know, belt him. And she doesn't go to her big peak very often. Like, she's done it 2 of the last 10 starts. She's gone to that sort of big number. But
if she was ever going to do it, it was here. Yeah, this was the circumstances.
Like, it was the slowly run race, like 600 meters around Flemington, big track. Like, this is her time to go to that level.
She's lost a length.
Yeah, I reckon she has. Although Steffi Magnetic was really good. She's a really nice filly. I think she'll keep improving. Her mum did as an older horse, and he's way all too hard. So, I think Healy continued. So she'll continue to prove as an older mare. And that was only her second preparation. So, really good. Amelia's Jewel was really good. I thought she was going to win for a second. I was like, don't fucking win after I backed you in a mare's race last week.
Yeah.
And Broadside, it was really bad. So. I don't know what to go with. It was him. What happened with him? Because he first up, he looked like he was like, this one might be better than Animo, and it just hasn't eventuated. So that's a little bit disappointing. I was really excited about him, but he's just very disappointing.
I think, look, we said on the preview a little bit, this is a 3-year-old who has just run in a Cox Plate where they've run the fastest time in history, in 104 years of Cox Plate history. They've broken a track record by 2 seconds. He's broken the track record himself. I just don't think he's backed up. I think it's just a big end of prep run. He's not as good as Animo. I think it's safe to lay that one on the table. Way. But I think this performance is forgivable. And unlike a certain other horse who finished behind him, he will go to the paddock and he'll be fine next preparation, I would have thought. Move on.
Just really good for Tyson Adrian. That was like he's like the call was awesome too. Like, just Mr. B's back. It was not that he ever left, but it was such a good win.
Yeah, he never left, but he's now won both of his 1600 meter mile races at Flemington this prep. So. Yeah, you can lay the argument to rest. 1600 meters is obviously his best distance. He gets 2000, but he gets 1600 a little bit better. The boys didn't go, did they? So you just taxed both of their owners' passes. I was
leaching up the tickets and getting on TV.
Did you alert the .com crew?
Not at all. Who do you think I am? I'm not a tool. Maybe I am.
Surely they knew you were standing there. They probably had all the cameras there lined up already.
No, I was just going off. They probably just, who's that kid going?
Oh, he's one of our own. All right. Let's move on to race 8, which was the highlight performance of Cup Week, probably. Yeah. It was definitely the best performance, and it's from the best horse in Australia. Her name is Via Sestina. She's won the Champion Stakes. I'm happy to say she's the best in the world. Some people on Twitter are happy to shoot me down, but I'm happy to fight them back. A lot of them that are saying she's not have absolutely no evidence to back up their argument. And at least I've got a little bit of evidence with her running to 132 time form in the Cox Plate, which is the number one ranked performance of the year of any horse. She's run to 107.8 here on Form King, which is obviously down what we expected, down on her Cox Plate run of 114.1. But nonetheless, it is still a world-class elite performance. They've gone at a pretty good tempo here. She's put 3 lengths nearly on a tissue who runs to 103.2. That's almost as good as what she did in the Champion Stakes last year. I would say she's pretty much run an identical sort of race, and she's lapped her without a fight, was solid in third, and Future History held on to fourth at a big quote. What'd you make of Via?
Yeah, it's fine. Atisha ran like as good as she's ever run. She still got beat.
Yeah, like, smacked.
Yeah. There's no surprise. It's the highest rating of Cup Week, and it's still a long way off what she did on Cox Plate Day. But I still think the rating she ran Saturday, like, I think it gives strength to that 114 she ran. Not that she'll ever run 114 again, not that she'll necessarily ever need to. Like, I think the thing is that the reason she ran that number on Cox Plate days, like just the ridiculous pace they went at, and just like she was the, you're not going to get that sort of pace very
No,
often.
it
Like
was
they just went,
circumstantial.
yeah, like you're not going to get that pace. Like unless they go that pace again in the Queen Elizabeth next year, or like if she's back to the for the Cox Plate as an 8-year-old, which I'd probably, I don't know, maybe she will be. I
I
heard that
doubt it.
probably. No, I've heard that. I've heard that they could stick
Yeah.
around for another year, but
Well,
she's
Pride of
improving and
Jenny's
she's
gone,
worth a
so
lot.
that sort of pace
Yeah, that's what I was
just
about
doesn't
to say.
exist.
So, I mean, sometimes you get those sort of ones. Like there has been Cox Plates in the past. Like I remember Winx's 2016 one when she won by 8. Vadamos went just ridiculously fast, and I think it's like the big margins are essentially just because of pace,
Yeah.
The pace of the races influences the margin spread, and like she's only won by two, what is 2.7 lengths, but it's that doesn't reflect how dominant the wind was. She smashed them, so they went even to slightly above average pace and to the 800 meters, and I think the leaders were really, really efficiently ridden. They just sort of couldn't sustain it, and the good ones ran into the race and then just went away with it. So I think Atisha and Vesacene were the only horses to break class benchmark for the last 400 meters, and I'd love to see a return to the UK next year and go to a race like the Princes of Wales or the Prince of Wales's at Ascot. I think that'd be a great race for her just to go back, because she's like, you get nonnies on Twitter, like not nonnies, but like people that, she got beaten in the UK, she wasn't anywhere near that, and she's just beating up on just Australians
Oh, annoys me so
horses because
much.
it I mean like I and like which is it's a fair argument, like A beat B, but it doesn't work like that. Horse racing's not that simple. She's obviously improved. She beat Prognosis, who's run Romantic Warrior to a head on multiple occasions by 8 lengths. So she's most certainly improved, and it could just be because she appreciates the conditions. She gets a lot like got faster tracks here. Chris Waller might have improved her. Like I know, like people think I think Chris Waller is actually bad. I don't think Chris Waller is bad. Is a bad trainer. I think some of his tactics sometimes are not ideal. But he is obviously, he's probably the best conditioner of horses in Australia, and he sets them to peak like no one else. So, you saw it this week. Like every single year, it's funny. You sort of think, Kieran Maher and the couple other trainers, they're the best trainers in Australia. And then it comes to Cup Week, and Chris Waller just dominates it every year. So,
Yeah.
he's obviously the he gets the best horses, and he has lots of really, good staff and everything. But he does a very good job with his top line horses and setting them for the grand finals, and he gets them right on the day. So I just want to make that clear. I don't think Chris Waller is a bad trainer. I just think sometimes
Just
his
questionable
tactics are,
tactics sometimes.
yeah.
Yeah, well, Vesacene is not the only one who's improved under him as well. Like Buckaroo is a horse who should have won a
Oh,
Caulfield Cup.
100%. Yeah.
He started favourite in a Melbourne Cup. Like Buckaroo wasn't that horse overseas. He just wasn't.
No.
And he's improved. There are so
Well,
many
it
other.
goes both ways. Like, it goes both ways. Like sometimes,
Yeah, Albotagon.
yeah, perfect example. Well, like there was that See the Moon who, this is a long time ago, but it came over as a like one of the best, world's best horses. Lord Williams bought it, and it came over here and did absolutely nothing. So,
Yeah. Would you say Alcohol Free might have even had more raps on her than Vesacene coming over? That's probably a fair
oh,
statement.
100%. Alcohol Free was, she was a multiple Group One winner. She won a multiple sprints over there, but some of these horses just don't appreciate the way we race over here, and they might just not acclimatize as well as some other horses. And obviously, Vesten is thriving. She appreciates the way that Chris Waller's training, and at the moment, anyway, she's probably the best horse in the world. Like you put up her against any horse in the world right now, I think she over 2,000 meters. She beat Celia Troy. She
Yeah.
beat. I think she beat any horse in the world at the moment.
And
So,
I think people on Twitter are so quick like even Australians, even our own people are just so quick to be like, nah, get off your high horse. Like Via Satana just can't be the best horse in Australia. She's beating a tissue. Like, just think for a second. Just think logically for a second and think to yourself, what horse in the world is better than Via Satana right now? And if you can actually have a good argument about it, like you can say Romantic Warrior, I would say probably not quite. He's a very good horse and he's got a overall, you know, sort of CV that says he's an absolute champion, which he is. But I think Via Sustainer's peaks are still bigger than Romantic Warrior. I think
that's a there's a difference between like the best horse. Like horse racing, we race horses to race to win. And if you win a lot of races, and you know, you're going to be remembered for.
Yeah, correct.
You know, Romantic Warrior has won just about everything there is to win in Hong Kong, and he's travelled and he's done everything. He might not be the fastest horse Hong Kong's ever produced, but he wins. But he wins and he wins everything, and that's what people remember. Like, you know, yeah. Haylist was as good as Nature Strip, but people don't remember him for. You know, the ratings he ran. He's remembered as the horse that got belted by Black Caviar every time they met. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's been a remarkable spring.
Yeah, I don't think people, like me too, we don't quite appreciate like the amount of good horses that are racing in Australia at the moment. Like not necessarily the sprinters, like the middle distance horses, like. Brother Jenny, Mr. Brightside's going around, like he jumped, what did he jump, like $10 or like $10 to $15 on a Cox plate. Mr. Brightside's a 125 time form racehorse, like he's turned up here and run a really big number. Like he's a world-class racehorse and he's going around $10 to $15 on a Cox plate. So like we have Brighter Jenny, like what have we got? A V Sustainer, like Fangirl.
Without a fight's back.
Yeah, like we've just got Fangirl, so many good horses at the moment, and I think the Champion Stakes stays worked this year, and what I sort of worry about is, you know, that it's a diluted pool when you spread the 600 meters and the 2,000 meters across two races because a lot of horses can sort of do both.
Yeah.
But it's been able to work this year.
Yeah.
But I just sort of worry that it might not be the same in the years to come, but.
Yeah, we'll soon see. There's always something else coming through.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I just want to say, like, I just think people, just, you know, harping on about what I was saying, I just feel like people underappreciate our own form. I mean, if you look at the Cox Plate over the last few years and some of the great winners of the race, State of Rest beats Animo on a Cox Plate, goes back to England, wins a Prince of Wales.
The biggest 2,000 meter race at Royal Ascot. Like, it's a.
Yeah, exactly. Lise Grisheur. Bolts in a Cox Plate, goes back, smashes Arm and Eye, absolutely destroys Arm and Eye in the Uri McKinnon over 2,500 metres, is later named Japanese Horse of the Year. You've got Romantic Warrior, who comes over, wins a Cox Plate, goes to Japan, wins at a mile, then goes back to Hong Kong, unbeaten at 2,000 metres, the last couple starts. Like, I think we just have to realise that Cox Plate form is some of the best form in the world, and that Via Sestina is one of the very best horses in the world, if not number one.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't have the body of work behind her yet, but she'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a fight, he was very, very good. He'll go to the Hong Kong Vase next, 2,400 metres, wait for age. He might have just blew out of condition a little bit the final couple hundred metres, but what do you think?
Oh, it was a good return. I mean, you know, he's still a long way off what he did in the Corfu Cup and Melbourne Cup. That's to be expected, so... I mean, it was a great return. I don't imagine he'll run to the number he did in the Crawford Normal Cup in Hong Kong, but I don't know what's going on in Hong Kong. That's your scene. Are any Japanese horses coming over, or what's the go there? Are there any good 2,400 meter horses in Hong Kong?
No, but Rebel's Romance is going, I think. So he's probably the horse to beat.
Yeah, he'll win that.
So yeah, Without a Fight's got a task trying to beat Rebel's Romance, but if he doesn't show his absolute best, then he's obviously a chance. I mean, Shariar might go, that other Japanese stayer. Yeah, he's always around.
He should have won the Breeders' Cup turf.
Yeah. I don't think Jan Brugel is going. I think they're going back to Ireland.
pulled the pin, they actually figured out he was lame.
Potentially. I don't want to be putting words in mouths, but I'm not exactly sure. Romantic Warrior will take on Liberty Island in the 2,000-meter race. That'll be a good contest. In the mile, you've got Antino, you've got Galaxy Patch, Namur.
So it's going to be a good day of racing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always one of the best. I think it's on the 8th of December. I think Lazat might even be going as well, the horse that ran second in the Golden Eagle to the mile. So,
what about the Lake Forest? Is that going?
Not sure. Mm. Not sure. But yeah, it's going to be a cracker. I think the one moral on the card is David Hayes's horse, Kaying Rising, in the sprint. It looks a bit of a weapon. Mm. But yeah, we can wrap up the three Groupons there. Via Sestina finishes her spring campaign. What is it? She's won three races and only lost one.
Yeah, she lost to Turnbull. She won first up.
She lost the Maccabi Diva.
Oh yeah, and she won the.
She finishes with three wins and one fail.
Yeah, how'd they bet 13s?
Don't know. No, four wins and one fail. Wait, 14, the 2,000. Yeah, four wins and one fail.
Yeah, four wins and one fail.
Yeah. Remarkable spring. Remarkable spring. And I think she only failed at the mile because potentially wet track, but also she just didn't have the platform for that.
No, she was slowly around 14 into a heavy track prior to Jenny.
Yeah, it was just a bit of a shock to the system, I would have thought.
Yeah.
But, yeah, remarkable spring, only one blemish on it. But, yeah, I would say it was very highly forgivable. So, no doubt the best horse in Australia. And I would say she's the best horse in the world right now as well. Had she run against City of Troy 2 weeks ago, she would have absolutely lapped him.
On the dirt. I'd love to see her on the dirt.
Yeah.
City of Troy got lapped on the dirt.
Any other performances you want to talk about on the day? Hinged. We got a home bot. In race five, the Matriarch. She's only had to run to 97 to win this. I mean, this is a good bet. Nico wanted to burn down Flemington.
Where is he? We should call him.
No idea. But I want to take a quick hat tip also to our man Dave Funt for the Form King ratings, because Cyril A. Miss, like, I didn't find her, but she actually had some figures on the board that said she could run really well here. I didn't think she'd do it at 2,000 meters, but she's led every step of the way by the last 10 meters. Declan Bates, yet again. Gee, he's a good front-running rider. I would put him on my front-running horse.
No, any day of the week.
I don't think I'd take him off either. What a ride this was. It was only bettered by Sir Donald J-Mac. He got off the fence at probably the 800 and he's lifted hinged over one.
Oh, yeah. I backed Cyril A. Miss last start. So if it had knocked me off here, I would have, cause I backed Nadal in the race previously and I was not happy. So I had a good bet on hinged and,
so you finished in front for the day. Well, not quite.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I backed it in on course as well, so it was like there's no better feeling than going and picking up cash on course. It's so good, just walking around. I had to go give it to mum because I didn't want it to fall out of my pocket.
What a sentence! You've had to give your mum cash to hold.
Yeah, just chuck it in a bag. So anyway. Because I watched this one in the GA and I couldn't see. I was like sort of on a weird angle and I didn't know if it won or not. I was like, don't. Because Nadal wasn't ideal and then if this got bet, I would not have been a happy man, but here we are.
Yep.
Yeah. How'd they bet 460, this thing? Do you reckon it was that price because it's a supposed non-winner? Like, I do think that. Honestly, like,
Jesus. I sort of said in my write-up, if it wasn't hinged, you could probably mark a 250.
I had a 250.
Anyway, there's a lot of blowing trumpets here right now, but
yeah, I'm sorry, I apologize. This is really bad.
Yeah, she's just found her absolute race here, Hinge. She got in with 55 kilos. She hasn't ran anywhere near her peak of 97. I mean, she ran to 100.1 when getting lipped out by Buckaroo a few starts ago. But on the back up here, she's just found her absolute right race. She's gone from running against Faulkner Park, who was a one-time Caulfield Cup favourite, to running against the B Brigade of the Mares. And yeah, she's just been a little bit too good. But I don't know if any of these will press on. Maybe Ballarat Cups, races like that.
Yeah, that's a perfect race for her. I think Chris Waller just wins this race. So does J-Mac. I win every year. Not every year, but I just think of a tissue. When I think of the Matriarch, I think of like them launching a tissue from 4-6 inch about even money. One of the biggest goes you will ever see, and like they got it right because you know she just ran second in Champion Stakes.
Yeah, so yeah, she's a idea. She's an absolute Flemington machine. Is a tissue, and she's run well down the weekend.
Chris Waller.
Yep. We'll quickly touch on the always welcome Ray Magnerio's run to, I think it's a new career peak, 98.2. Got the bob in front of Front Page, who obviously rates to 100.9, given he carried 4.5 kilos more, 59.5. So he's gone very good. Robrick sort of backs up that big performance where he ran second to Estriella. We all thought maybe was that Fugazi, but anyway, he's run to 97. He's run very well again. And Nadal was probably the sick beat of the race. Probably should have won. I haven't seen the head-on bot, but was there a gap there for Michael D to take, or is it just unlucky?
I don't know, mate. I haven't watched it since, and I don't want to watch it because I had a good bet on it, and wasn't happy. I don't know. I've heard some people say it like it wasn't unlucky, and it probably shouldn't have won, but I don't know. I was sort of uncomfortable from about the 600. I was like, oh, they're sort of getting away from it. He's not going for it and got away. I think, yeah, I don't know. The splits sort of say like he was launching at him late, but yeah, Ray Magnerio on the backup. Like, yeah, like the last 200 meters, he's, you know, he's going 2 to that 1. I was walking around and some lady was like, This like, I don't know, like a 40-50-year-old lady just like chucked the race. Like, she was the owner of Ray Magnerio, and she just chucked like the banner on me. Like, you know, like the banner that they put on the horse, she just chucked around my shoulders. So I got a photo Ray Magnerio. So
you would have been crying.
Mate, I was, yeah, I'll just get that off me. I've stinged two winning owners on Mr. Brightside and Ray Magnerio. I'm not involved in any of them, but I've got on TV for one, and I've got a photo with Ray Bagnerio's winning sash.
Wow, there you go. All right, any other performances you want to talk about on the day? Roman's got back into the winner's circle in the Queen Elizabeth.
I've backed Smoke and Romans to get somewhere near his term of winning form, but he hasn't, not to no avail. But like they have walked here, and then So they've gone from ridiculously slowed, like just a trial pace, slower than trial pace. Like it's just disgusting how slow they've gone here. And then they've increased the pace just enormously. Like they've gone from walking to sprinting in, you know, like in this, like just like that, like a click of the fingers.
Yeah, because Mick D made the mid-race move on I'm a Dirty Rascal.
Yeah, and he had to. And then because they've gone from going so slow to so quickly, going so quickly, half of them are just like gone kaput in the last sort of 400 meters. And like the overall time, like the overall time is just so bad in this race. Like for how slow they've gone early, in the last sort of 400 meters, it doesn't give the full context if you just look sort of to the six and from the six, but you know, like the mid stages give a sort of more context around how the race has been run. So, you know, the time nerds will absolutely hate it, but and like it's not a good race regardless. But like, where do these horses go? Maybe like the Pakenham Cup, and like they'll be fine in that. So
or the Wait for Age Path, which is the Zipping Classic.
Well, they're not winning that.
Yeah, but I feel like there might be an opportunity because this race has supposedly gone so bad because so many horses have been ridden inefficiently, and I think you can forgive a lot of them to a certain extent. I feel like there might be an opportunity to back some of these. Like, I backed Star Vega at $19 all in, and I was a bit sick because
it should have won.
It definitely should have won if the race wasn't ran the way it was ran, and Smoke and Romans just sort of got a dream and then sort of clicked up the tempo, and yeah, it just wasn't getting there. But I don't know, Zipping Classics often come up weak, and I wouldn't be surprised if a horse like Star Vega won a race like that.
Kingswood, if he rocks up, I think he'll win the Zipping Classic.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how he goes. Gav surely does want to step him up in trip before the preparation's out.
I'd say so. Maybe even a Pakenham Cup, but I think Zipping Classic's worth $750,000 or something. So, I think that's probably the way he goes. But Future History might go to the Zipping Classic.
I think he was huge.
Yeah. So, is that the horse I'm talking about? Yeah. The horse I'm talking about is Duke de Cessa, not Future History. Duke de Cessa might, the Caulfield Cup winner might go to the Zipping Classic, and I guess with that, with Future History will too. So, they're thereabouts, but they're both really, well, Future History is really good on Saturday, and Duke de Cessa won the Caulfield Cup, but maybe they pull the pin on him this preparation after that run on Saturday.
Yeah, I would say that's a highly likely possibility. Anglin was just okay in the first. I'm pretty sure they went a good tempo there. Yes, they did go very, very fast, and he's just held them off. Not sure if there's too much more you want to say about that. And in the last, Pisanello for J-Mac. This was his 11th winner, and yet again, a fantastic ride. And
it was so good.
I know lots of people were saying, oh, he's John Barrier 1, can't win sort of thing. I think by the end of the carnival and the last day, as I said, those outside lanes had been verti drained. And even though he's drawn barrier one, they've all come straight to the outside. So I don't think the horse is in that bad a position. I think, it was a great ride, but I like first and second have been drawn one and two. I think it might have been a bit overplayed by the last day anyway, those inside barriers.
Mm. Yeah. This is probably the biggest roar all week. And the crowd, it was awesome because I don't know if it was just the punters backing J-Mac in the last on the Godolphin favourite, or it was J-Mac getting his 11th win, but I think it was more so just everyone launching into them.
No one cares. Let's be honest. Not that many people care about J-Mac breaking his own record. No. People care about their wallets.
Yeah.
And lots of people back this.
Mate, well, it was a benchmark 80. It was the biggest roar for a benchmark 80 you'll ever hear. It was so loud.
Yeah. And one thing I will say about, like, I much prefer the racing.com sort of coverage compared to, like, a Channel 9 or a Channel 7. And obviously that's just because I'm a punter and they give a lot more information to the punter and they focus a lot more on, the pre-parade and the statistics and, the tips. But one thing I will say about the Channel 9 coverage and the Channel 7 coverage is, for whatever reason, they've got different audio and different mics that pick up.
I noticed that.
They pick up the crowd a lot better than the racing.com mics currently do, and the sound effects of, like, the horses actually running on the track. So that is one thing that you might hear me saying this, and now you're like, yeah, actually that is right. It's something that I've noticed over the last few years that they do have different mics, and they really capture the sound of the crowd.
I'm not sure which really one well. I prefer. I don't know.
Yeah, even the Matty Hill call is a little bit different as well, because you hear less of, like, the Matty Hill is probably a little bit more echoey and you hear a lot more of the crowd. So, I don't know. It probably takes a bit away from Matty Hill, but you hear a lot more of the roars of the crowd, which is cool.
Yeah, both is good.
Yeah. All right. That was all for Flemington. What'd you make of Sydney? Rail was +3. There's probably only three races we really want to look at. I think we'll start.
I like, were they even racing in Sydney on Saturday?
There were three races.
What did I make of Sydney? I have no idea. I don't know.
All right, well, I'll try and tell you what I made of Sydney. Okay.
I'll look at the ratings.
We'll go to race six first because this was the Inglis Golden Gift for the two-year-olds. Some decent two-year-olds here. North England's rated to 92.2. If Declan Bates is the number one front-running jockey in the country or number two, then Tim Clark is definitely the other one because he's rated this to absolute perfection. I thought he was potentially a little bit of a risk, 1,100 metres. And, of course, I backed Icarian Dream and I said I'd be disappointed if she didn't run top three. Well, you know exactly where she was going to run as soon as I said that, Bot. She's run fourth, beaten a length. So I probably should have just shut my mouth and not bet each way. Should have just had
big
something
firmer, Icarian Dream.
Yeah, she was. I think she had the perfect map. She finished off well in the last run at Warwick Farm. She had the big SP going into the gym crack, was scratch at the barriers. And everyone just thought she would improve, but she sort of just, I don't know, I thought she was still a little bit disappointing and it's sort of all honours the top few. North England was good. 1,200 metres is going to hold another, it's going to be a new sort of pain threshold. West of Swindon was probably really good and is the one to follow.
Yeah, West of Swindon's run the fastest last 200 of the meeting, which is, you know, he's by Wooden Bassett, so you'd assume he gets out of ground, over ground, so... I mean, like the rating's nothing special, but it's, you know, there's a bit to work with. And yeah, I was looking at the Betfair compared to the fixed price. Like they have got stuck into Icarian Dream. And, you know, North England started $3.40 official prices and Betfair started $4.30 where Icarian Dream started $5 official SP and Betfair was $4.90. So yeah, geez, that's interesting. You would have liked to take Betfair SP if you back North England. But I mean, like, I don't have much to say other than that. Like, I don't know these horses, but West of Swindon, I don't know. Last 200 metres, Wooden Bassett, it's pretty colours. Assume it's well bred. That could be one you can follow, I guess.
Yep.
Don't know.
Hopefully, a horse like that goes on to the Magic Millions. I don't think there's any markets up for the Magic Millions. Actually, sorry, no, this was an English race, so they can't go to the Magic Millions. I'll correct myself there. So a lot of these will probably go to the paddock now and return in the new year for obviously the Golden Slipper is the one they all want to win, but there's also the Inglis Millennium, which is a very rich race for horses sold at the Inglis sales like this one as well. So, yep, I don't think these are going to be the top line two-year-olds come next year, but we'll soon see. Usually there's a few that come out of the woodwork as the new year sort of comes in. Race 7 was the Hot Danish Stakes. And it was taken out by Belle Claire, who's gone around at a price of $3.30. Has absolutely backed up what it did last start. Magic Time couldn't get past it last time. This is a horse coming over from New Zealand who I thought last start might have just been a bit of a fluke. Won at 30-1. Well, it wasn't because she's done it again. She's posted a monster rating of 103.1, which is one of the best performances of the day. Well ridden. Gone sort of a slow tempo in front by Tyler Schiller, but nonetheless, a great performance. Beats Magic Time and Alentia. So beats two pretty smart ones, one at 1,400 metres, and is probably going to go to the Railway Stakes over in Perth, Bot.
Who is Belle Claire and where has she come from and why is she so good? What is this? Like, this is a good number. This is – who is this horse? She's a 7-year-old Perrin Canto mare from New Zealand. I didn't know she was until last start when she, you know, I sort of thought she might have gotten away with one.
She's had 40 starts and she's just gone to...
Where has this come from?
I've got no idea where it's come from, but she's switched to Beorn Baker this preparation after coming straight from New Zealand. She went out on a bit of a peak. She won a Group 1 in New Zealand and now she's come back. She was sort of just fair in the Alan Brown, but then she's gone whack, whack in the Invitation and the Hot Danish.
I mean, this is a really good rating. And, you know, for a mare's race, this is gone well. Like rating for rating, it's gone better than the Champion Sprint. So, you know, like if you plonk her there, like it doesn't work like that, but you know, you'd have to assume she measures up to some of the best sprinters. You know, is she strictly 14? Can she sprint?
No, she's going to the mile next. She's going to the railway in Perth.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, what's going to the railway? What's up there?
Light infantry man is going.
Ooh, yeah. He was good. He was real good. They've taken a while to get him right in Australia, but
He was good.
They've got him right. He's he's Group One place over in France, and he might be getting somewhere back to
New Democracy York. Manifest is going there.
Well, he's a good horse if he's ridden properly.
The Perth horses are like Super Smink, Zip Away,
who?
Diamond Scene.
Who?
Super Smink's pretty good, but I think she's better at 1400.
Isn't she like she was that 2-year-old that was really fast early in the Karaka Millions or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that Karaka's? Is that Karaka New Zealand?
Yeah, Karaka is New Zealand.
What's the
The Karakata sounds similar.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I bet in Victoria.
Yeah, but it looks a good race for the eastern horses to come over and sort of bomb them.
Yeah, we put that much money on. It's hard to not. Get them to come over.
The last race we'll talk about is obviously the Five Diamonds, and it has been taken out by Pericles, who was very, very well ridden here by Karen McAvoy, who's actually going quite well at the moment, K-Mac. He's ran to 101, Pericles. He's just gripped onto victory, beating Freedom Rally, Yellow Brick in third, Attrition in fourth. So, you know, a few familiar names run 1, 2, 3, 4. These are five-year-olds, 1,800 metres. It's probably as far as Pericles wants it. I don't think he quite gets a strong 2,000, but 1,800 metres, he does get it just. He might be better at a mile, but nonetheless, he's put down a Pericles-like rating here, and he's done a good job.
Yeah. I thought he was sort of gone after the, he had three, like he ran those three races after the Fian. The So You Think Stakes. He was offered in the Underwood. You know, the two runs in between was just, maybe he's just done for the prep. He took $24. That seems I was just saying he's looked like he was gone, but like that's a big price for a horse this good.
Yeah.
Attrition
did lap him last start in the hill.
Yeah, I know, but it's Pericles, and he started favourite in Underwood. The Underwood's a better race than the Five Diamonds.
Yeah, hindsight. Wonderful.
Attrition and Territory Express were like...
slaughtered?
Yeah. I don't think as much Ethan Brown could have done on Attrition, but Territory Express, they just ride that... Like, I don't know much about it, but what I know about it is that it always gets back and it's always unlucky and always being held up for a run. They just ride it closer. Yellow Brick... that's that thing you backed for lots and got beat by Redina, who actually won the Epsom. So,
yeah, sick.
Anyway. Kingswood was good. I think he needs a mile and a half now. I think he's looking for it. I think, he's got a sprint, but he just probably doesn't match it with some of these. So, I think I don't want to tell Gavin what to do, but.
Mate, you're Gavin's racing manager.
No, definitely not. But I think Gavin will agree that he's looking for a mile and a half now, and he can get to that number that he'd need to win the Zipping Classic, and he might not be favourite, especially if Future History's there, which I assume it will be, but I think he can get to that next level, and he's a really nice horse for Gavin. I think he's looking for a mile and a half.
Yeah. Just going back, I know we were jumping races a bit, but we didn't actually touch on the favourite in the Queen Elizabeth, Kinesiology.
Oh, yeah.
What did you make of its performance? And do you think they immediately pull up stumps? Or, how would you assess it if it did go to, a Zipping Classic?
I'm pretty sure I saw that it was, someone said it was, it wasn't, there to go, which I thought was interesting. But I could be wrong, but it also it was playing up like a complete, it was off its head in the mounting yard. It wasn't happy. Just the way the race was run too. I just don't think it probably would have appreciated it. It's an on speed horse over in UK. So I just don't see the reason why it wouldn't be ridden positively here, or at least go to set a pace at least, but,
It came over here with a good enough time form rating to beat them, but it just hasn't panned out for us. So I don't know, like we were just saying before, some horses that come over from the UK or anywhere really, like some of them take to it, some of them don't. So he might just be a horse that doesn't appreciate Australian conditions like a horse like Vizacena does. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know if I'd pull up stumps. I'd have to see how the horse pulls up. I'd leave that to Chris Waller. He's obviously a very good conditioner of horses. But he should have sent it forward and set at a good pace.
Yep.
That's his tactics.
Just quickly back on the Five Diamonds, attrition will go to the Northerly Stakes, 1800 metres weight for age at Ascot,
Who's
and
that?
attrition.
Oh.
And I would think he's one of the chances in a race like that. I think he'll improve off the back of this, and hopefully the trip over to Perth just might even tighten him up a little bit more, and he can be peaking for that. All right. Anything else? Thursday
Think so.
was the Oaks.
No, yeah.
Treasure of the moment, yet again, Brooding Schmeeding by Alabama Express out of a sprinting mare, I believe, and wins the 2,500 meter event. Yet again, too good for Powers of Opal. So I got that one wrong. She beat her almost identically the same
Yeah.
way in the Oaks and the Wakeford.
Yeah. I remember because I was working and I was clipping the it was a Wednesday at Sandown, I think, after no it was grand final day actually, at Sandown, and she won there. She beat who did she beat? It doesn't matter. Over 14, and Matt Laurie said after the race, she's built like a sand filly, and we're gonna go to the Oaks with her. So full credit to him. He was bang on with that. She I would have never thought she was a staying filly, but
No, neither.
you got that right. So breeding's not, or the page at least isn't everything. I'm sure there's some sort of reason why she, like, there's Sadler's Wells in there. So there's something in there. But Alabama Express is by Redoute's Choice, out of I think it's a half to Giga Kick's mum. So yeah, there's a page there. So I mean, I don't
I
know
think
what
she's
you're
just the
talking
best
about.
horse at the end of the day.
Yeah, and like they again, like they went really slowly in both the Wakeford and the Oaks. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if she's a miler in time. I don't, like, she might not necessarily be a mile and a half horse. Whereas I think Powers of Opal will be a staying filly. Like, she'll be in the Matriarch next year, I'd imagine. And Alabama Express, the
Treasure of the
winner,
moment.
Treasure of the Moment, will be racing it. I think probably the 16 to, maybe she gets to 2,000, but
Yeah, it's an interesting one. She's obviously got a better turn of foot, better acceleration, and a better racing pattern at the end of the day. I mean,
yeah. Oh, how good was the ride, Frost Gator? Oh my
oh,
God.
mate, drawn 12 of 13 and going past the post for the first time, he's
It was
already
a
found a
1-1.
1-1.
Yeah,
Like,
it's unreal.
I'm not a Betfair in play sort of punter, but I could just imagine Jackson Oldham on his laptop. Sitting on Bet Angel after Treasure of the Moment got to the 1-1 and just hitting bet, 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 bet.
Well, I
Because
heard that it was trading like starting price at like going around the corner for the first time I heard. So
I back Powers of Open. I knew I was fucked as they went past the winning post for the first time.
if you were on the favorite, you were pretty comfy because Powers Opal was three wide back in the field, and Treasure of the Moment's 1-1 in the slowly run race. Like, how far is this going to
Yeah,
go?
and it just shows both 3-year-old staying features on Cup Week. Both winners drew barrier 13 and barrier 12. Both were given positive rides, and both ended up finding a good position on speed. I know Gold Rush Guru had to work a little bit more, but eventually he found the spot, and that won him the race.
Yeah, but
So
he was ridden positive. If Jamie Carr goes back, he does not win.
exactly right. So two
Same
positive
as,
rides win both races.
oh, don't tell Wayne Hawks that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Wayne. Imagine if his 2-year-old draws wide in the Magic Millions.
Scratch it.
Or in the English millennium, I should say. Yeah. Yeah, it's got none. It's going to be 20 lengths last.
You may as well just scratch it.
Sometimes because I listen to that.
As a punter. Hey, you're a trainer. Don't talk to me how to bet.
I listen to that Monday Manchester sometimes, and I swear sometimes I just listen more for a laugh.
Why do you do that to yourself? I cannot. I'd tear my ears off, honestly. Like, no offense to him, but...
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
And the owner, what's his name?
Johnny O'Neill. Owns,
but, he's just as bad.
He doesn't stick up for his jockeys at all. He just puts the sword straight.
He was blasting Mid-D, and I mean, half fair enough. But mate, he's riding for you. You can't say
he's
that.
Riding. He's riding for you. Like, you're putting him on your horses.
You booked him.
There goes. If J-Mac had been riding this, it would have won.
Well, get J-Mac. You've got unlimited, mate. You obviously have a lot of money.
Then put J-Mac in and ride with a kilo over. Anyway, funny stuff. Any other horses you want to talk about or performances during the week?
What happened Oaks Day? I don't remember.
I don't know. Light Infantryman was good. We've already sort of touched on him.
Oh, yeah. I think Alma Rise is a nice filly. Maybe towards
Oh, yeah. That killed him.
Oh, mate. That was just about apart from Hinge, it was probably the best ride I copped all week out of the horses I backed, and it almost fell. That was it had heaps on those. It's a really nice filly because it bolted in one day at Pakenham. I think it was a maiden. It hacked up and then it went to the St. Ledger straight off that at its third start, and it came off it. But it's obviously a very, very nice filly, and it's by El Manzor. It'll stay a mile and a half at least. So a race like the get it low in the weights in a 10 furlong, mile and a half race. And, it can nick one, I think.
Yep, sweet. In Hong Kong, there was only one race of interest, and it was actually Archo Nacho, who has won another race down the 1,000-meter straight. He's beaten a very good one in Wunderbar, or it's spelt Wunderbar, but I reckon it's Wunderbar because that's how they all say it.
Well, that's the same thing as Young Werther because it's Young Werther, but...
Yeah.
Because apparently it's a German thing. I don't know. Matt Hill always calls it Werther, and I trust him.
Werther. Yeah, it sounds right. But Wunderbar, he is a pretty good horse who's been sort of – he actually beat Kai Ying Rising last preparation, 1,000 metres. Archo and Archo's new name is Magic Control, and he was just a little shade too good for him. I think Zach's ride was a little bit questionable. I think he slipped the leader a little bit too much rein. He SP'd $1.40 here at Wunderbar. So the market hasn't gone to a very good level. And he was 1,200 back to 1,000. I think they've only ran him here because they just probably couldn't find another sort of class 2 1,200-meter race. So they've just ran him down the straight. And he's been beaten by a decent horse in Archo Nacho. Archo Nacho beat... Mahaba on Cox Plate Day last year. Mahaba wins during Cup Week this year. So, that red anchor form coming through. So it all sort of ties in together. Wunderbar is a very good horse and Archo Nacho is a good horse. I think once they get to 1,200, the favourite will be turning the tables back on him. But I don't think he'll be turning the tables back on Kai Ying Rising, who has improved this preparation and looks the best sprinter in Hong Kong, maybe even the world. We'll soon find out. Switzerland might have something to say about it as well. But Kai Ying Rising is very good. Very, very good.
I hope they got a Royal Ascot with Switzerland. I really hope they do.
Yeah. All right. A couple of questions. Quickly, Bot, do you have a tip for the 1,000 Guineas and the Rupert Clark this week? Or not sure yet?
No. I have no idea. I don't even know what's racing.
Yeah.
Private Eye's going, that went really well in the Carbine Club.
Yeah.
That ran a really nice rating there. Private Eye's going to the Rupert Clark. So
yeah, $15 all in.
Another Will and Jimmy Star rematch. And they're both really similar horses. I think they're both, it's a nice matchup. I thought the market move for Jimmy Star was so interesting compared to another Will who had the map advantage of it.
I just don't think we were forgiving of another Will's Turak blunder. It was bad.
Yeah, what happened there?
I don't know.
Carry my cash, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think it's a two-horse race, but I've got Jimmy Starr on top. My hands are tied with All In Bets. I think Private Eye, $15. He'll start shorter than that.
$15, that's fair.
Yeah, it is fair. Have a bet, bot. Have a bet for once, All In.
No.
They said he's not going to the Hunter. He's coming to Melbourne. And in the 1,000 guineas, Aliana, well, her figure that she ran in the Carbine Club, like yet again, Waller Cup week, she's exploded. She'll be hard to beat.
He wins that race every single year.
Lovely Cut is the one I want to back at a decent value for Reese Goodwin. I think he can
improve. That'd be so good.
She can improve.
Imagine Reese Goodwin gets his first group one.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
That'd be, right. That it's actually that she's a half to King Hastings. It's actually a pedigree behind
it. Yeah, yeah, and I think the second up run was sort of forgivable. I think she can turn the tables on Matisse and Zaytong.
Mm. But Aliana has she's a good favorite.
Yeah, she'll probably start $2.50. If she repeats her performance, she'll win.
Yes.
All right, Mitch, couple questions. First one on Twitter from Mitch. Based on ratings, but also horses of her caliber that would run against her in Europe. All right, so just digest this question, Bot, because there's a fair bit to it. Based on ratings, but also horses of her caliber that would run against her in Europe, how many of them are there who hit similar ratings to match her? Sorry for the long one. So Via Sestina, what horses do you think overseas can match her sort of ratings right now?
I don't think there's another horse in the world that's 130 or better in time form anyway. This is a question for the racing and sports guys, not me.
I think City of Troy and Calandigan are both pretty good horses that are maybe not quite at that level, but like right up there.
Well, I think City of Troy is, what is he? I think he's 100.
He's 130.
100, is he? I thought he was 127 or 128.
I'm pretty sure the Jabont was 130.
Mm. Yeah.
I saw that in a racing article.
I don't know about that. I don't think it was 130.
Okay.
I think Kalangadan, he's a gelding. So they couldn't go the arc with him. The last 600, he ran that about half a second quicker than what City of Troy did. And yes, City of Troy was up on speed, but like it wasn't a strongly run, well, strongly enough anyway. But he's
very
quick. Yeah.
What about Blue Stocking, the horse who won the arc?
Yeah, I think she was 127 in the arc. She's retired now. So, what else? Oh, there's a couple of the French horses, the French Derby winner. I mean, like, he's a bit off it. Like, I don't think there's another one.
What's the French Derby's winner's name again?
Something short. I can't remember what it's called. It's a short name. Wears blue colours. I don't know. The nice looking horse. And who ran second in the arc?
Delius was in the top four, wasn't it?
No. He was sort of. He's been purchased. Do you say he was bought by Gain Adrian?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's coming to Australia. That was really like, because like I've been watching that horse because, you know, I remember seeing it like over in France, saw a replay of it. It's like this massive Frankel, massive splits, and it's and hopefully it can accommodate to Australia well. And like it sort of looks like it appreciate Australian racing.
Like Romantic Warrior is probably the best horse in the world. Like if you just say like what he's done, but he doesn't put up the ratings that some of these other horses are sort of putting up.
Yeah, I mean. I think if she turns up to Hong Kong, I think she probably doesn't start favourite. But that's just because of the weight of money of the Hong Kong punters. She should be favourite though.
Well, she's not going, but yeah.
No, if she did, but if she went to the UK, I think City of Troy would probably start favourite over her. But he's probably going to be retired, so I don't know. I think she's.
Does Japan have anything right now? I don't think they've got anything like too special.
Well, they've got Liberty Island, but she was disappointing first up.
Yep.
I
think this Janta Manta is the one to watch. Obviously, champion 2 year old. He easily beat the horse who went and came for the Golden Eagle. What's the name? Ascoli Piceno. Yeah. He put about 3 lengths on it over a mile, I think, in a 2 year old race, and I don't think we've seen him since. And we saw the money that came for Ascoli Piceno on the Golden Eagle, so. Janta Manta, write his name down. I think he's the one to watch for Japan coming through the ranks. All right, Ryan, could you each rank your top three favorite moments / performances of the spring? And then a follow-up, what would you do with broadsiding in the autumn if it was yours? Okay, my quick top three is number one, Via Sestina winning the Cox Plate. Number two, Bella Nipotina finally getting that big one and landing the Everest. I was there to watch it. I thought that was really, really special. And my third one, even though I didn't back it, was just Switzerland blowing them away in the Cornwall. That was pretty awesome. And yep, Bod and Nico got it right. I didn't get it right. What would you do with broadsiding in the autumn if he was mine? I would target.
Just guineas, both the guineas and then the quick QE.
I would go Australian guineas into Australian Cup.
Dodge him. Run Dodge of ESS Tanner.
Yeah. Oh, you can run in the Australian Cup and then the QE now because it's a 2-week gap.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, I mean, James Cummings isn't, you know, he's not one to dodge a race. I wouldn't have thought, but. I'm disappointed by him. Maybe he just needed a reset.
Actually, isn't the Randwick Guineas and Rosehill Guineas in the autumn? So they'll probably go to that
one. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They'll go to the Guineas.
Yeah, well, there's the Australian Guineas as well.
There's no point coming down to Flemington if they're going to go 16, 2000 for Randwick and Rosehill and then go to the QE or maybe, I don't know.
The Randwick Guineas is the race they'll work back from.
My top.
Go. Watch your top three moments.
Number one has to be Saturday, Mr. Brightside, getting my fist pump and my big head on the TV. Number two has to be Hinged, winning the Matriarch.
Oh, how good.
And messaging Nick after the race with a K. And number three, probably Maccabi Diva, but Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Nice. Chris the Caster. Do we have the potential to see an Aussie horse grab a win at the Hong Kong International Races? And who would be the best chance?
Well, Antino's the only one going, isn't he?
Nah, without a fight, it's going to the Vars.
Antino's a better chance than.
Yeah, they're probably our main two hopes. I haven't heard if any sprinters are going.
I've only got two. Huh?
I think there's only two.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what if Rebels Romance, like his win in Hong Kong last time was good, but it wasn't as good as some of his other wins. Like,
I don't know.
Hopefully the door's left ajar for Without a Fight. I would love nothing more than for Without a Fight to beat Rebels Romance. Wouldn't that shut those palms up? Holy shit.
He is one of theirs though.
He's under Australian training right now. So the fact that Via Sestina has put six lengths on him would just be brilliant. And then he goes over and beats Rebels Romance.
Mm. Yeah, and Tino, they've got that. What's that? What's the miler over there? They've got a good miler, don't they?
What? Golden Six is gone. Galaxy Patch is the new one. Galaxy Patch is the new one, yeah.
How good's he?
I would say he's probably on par with Antino.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, he's a better chance than Without a Fight, I'd say.
Yeah. Galaxy Patch might not even be a better horse than Antino. Like, Antino is probably almost on Mr. Brightside's level, like at his best. I know he doesn't have the body of work behind him, but Galaxy Patch will probably start favourite purely based on home ground advantage. Ryan Deef, will Prodigy go down as the best mare of all time? No, she won't. She's one of the better ones in the last few years. Absolutely. Is Tony Otterbrey going to go back into anonymity with the retirement of Prada Jenny?
I hope so.
Probably. We're probably not going to hear from him much anymore.
Yeah.
But how close were you to dislocating your shoulder with the Mr. Brightside celebration?
I reckon it's top five fist pumps of all time.
I love how like the camera just captured it so perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, Oh, I think they just know whenever Mr. Brightside wins a race now that there's going to be a reaction somewhere in the crowd.
Yeah, there's a bunch of unhinged.
Yeah. It might be from Bot. It might be Tyson crying. It could be anything at this stage.
Yeah.
It could be from
we've
one of
his some pretty good celebrations. We've done pretty well.
Yeah. Ryan Deeth, Ben, is the six-day racing cast now that the spring is over? Yeah, honestly, Hong Kong, and I think after that we should probably just shut the wallet for a bit because I think we perform when the good Group 1 Wait for Age racing is on, and as soon as that's off, like, I'm no good. So I should probably just close the wallet. I should probably just hand the login to Bot over winter and see what he can do.
You paying me?
I'll pay you enough for racing previews, mate.
In what? What sort of payment are we talking about?
I'll give you drink cards and free entry to the races sometimes.
Yeah, true, fair enough.
Keeps going, Bot. How does it? Who does it? Does it say meant to say? I think it's meant to say how, not who. How does it feel to be a winning owner of Mr. Brightside and Ray Magnerio? Pretty good, I would have thought. Yeah. And is Brightside the greatest smiler in the country? It's probably a fair comment to say now.
Oh, I mean, like. I think V-Sustain would beat him in a mile, but we're like strictly like, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but he owns the title of the best mile in Australia right now. Yeah. He just has to. He's won the Maccabi Diva.
Yeah.
He's won the Champions Mile. He's won an All-Star Mile.
He's the Mile King, yeah.
He's won two Doncasters. He's won two Maccabis.
Yeah. After Saturday, I think he has to, like, he's a Hall of Fame racehorse.
Yeah. And his biggest achievement was beating Earlswood in the Fian a couple of years ago.
Yeah, like five lengths, yeah.
And Tyson Hunter, Ben, have you seen a better fist pump than Potts? No, I definitely haven't.
I don't think there's ever been one better.
yeah, right up there. It'll live long into the memory banks. All right, Potter. Let's wrap it up there.
Time for bed.
It is definitely time for bed. I've got my first sort of information night for pre-season training on Thursday at 6:15. So we need to make a decision on whether we do it tomorrow night or whether we just record late on Thursday. So,
hey, what tomorrow night?
The podcast. Sorry, not tomorrow night. Wednesday night.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, we'll talk about that in the chat with our pre-production meetings that we don't do at all.
Pre-production meeting. Fucking hell.
All right, we'll discuss that soon, Ponners, but it'll either be a Wednesday late podcast or a Thursday late podcast for the preview of Rupert Clark State's Day and, of course, the 1,000 Units.
So if we just think about the good, ignore the bad, we could turn this around. Plus, no matter what, I got summer on the inside. I got summer on the inside.